Here we go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude. I am your host tonight, Sean, and I'm here in studio with
Sam.
And on the Skype hotline, we've got
Chris.
John.
Smooth. All right. So,
drinking something?
Sorry, I had to swallow that before.
I heard a slurping sound like the whole time we were talking.
Well, I yawned first, and I had to get the drink down before I said anything, and then it all spiraled out of control. Let's just get off the rails early.
Do you have a Capri Sun? Because it sounded like a Capri Sun.
No, it's a scotch and a water.
Okay.
So an adult Capri Sun.
What kind of scotch? Are we doing booze now?
I did a Macallan 10-year.
Okay.
All right. We talking smoke? We talking earthy tones? Like, what are we?
More earthy, but it's I don't know. It's been open for a couple of years and it hasn't really moved. So,
yeah,
I feel like it lost a little bit of its luster.
Yeah,
fair enough. Anyways,
Tonight we got a couple movies. We're jumping right into this. We got a couple movies. We got The Report. You guys want to talk about? We got Jumanji, the new Jumanji. Sam and John want to talk a little bit about Parasite. We've got Watchmen and Mando to talk about, and basically expectations before Star Wars Episode 9 drops tomorrow. It's been aired. It's been shown to the press, basically, like select few. So people have been letting their voices be heard on the interwebs. So we'll kind of dive into that a little bit. But first, let's start with the report. Go ahead, guys.
So, I guess I'll lead. So the report is a movie released by Amazon and currently available on Amazon streaming. About the torture report that the Senate wrote and released in, what was that, 2014?
17 or 18?
No, it was like 2014 or 15.
Yeah. Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. But
I think it was 2015.
Yeah, somewhere in the mid-teens. I don't know who directed it, but it's got Annette Bening and Adam Driver in it. And, so it's about the torturing that went on during the Bush era of either actual terrorists or suspected terrorists, and the Senate's investigation of the operation and its actual effectiveness.
So, I think my first takeaway from this movie is, like, damn, Tim Blake Nelson playing a lot of broken dudes.
Yeah, right?
And
that was shocking to see him in there, too.
It is because I mean, he does the same sort of thing. He's, like, sort of torturing the other people in the other show, too, you know?
Mm.
But I think this is maybe the movie that you could probably most easily call a docudrama of, like, all time. Because it's really just, like, an information dump.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's, like, what, 2 hours of information dump? And it's, like, you know, just
45 minutes too long.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think there's a single scene that's just not people just talking the whole time. Which, you know, listen, not the end of the world by any means. There's enough movies out there like that. But, look, I think it was very informative because I feel like I'm somewhat well read and up to date on things, and I had really no idea about this. Like, I had heard people talking about how, like, oh, you know, the narrative from Zero Dark Thirty is, like, all made up, and I thought they're talking about, like, you know, how it's a composite or, you know, shit like that. Like, you know, movie, like, you know, flourishes that are just added along the way. It's like, no, everything it was based on was pretty much like altered and lied about, like allegedly, according to this report.
Like I remember hearing that at the time, where it's like, yeah, because I remember seeing an interview with the director of Zero Dark Thirty. I forget her name, but
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, Catherine Bigelow, and just her them asking like, so like, how do you feel about like the CIA just flat out lying to you about how where they got the information?
And yeah. Her response was.
She was upset about it. I don't. This was years and years ago, so I don't exactly remember what her words were, but I remember her being upset about it.
Well,
yeah. I mean, look. I don't think there's like really much, frankly, to discuss in this movie.
I mean, Adam Driver is good.
I mean, he's fine. I like him as an actor, but I don't think he's anything. Like, in particular here, it is weird how, like, you know, he's got a little speech at the end, just like any other movie, you know, where people are discovering the truth and being, you know, overwhelmed with obstacles is the whole, it's like, you know, oh, it's got to come out, the truth's got to come out, shtick. It's just kind of odd how they didn't really crystallize it at the end. Like, there's really, would you say there's, like, tension in this movie?
No.
Really?
Not. Same way there is to like All the President's Men in Spotlight, and it's not like, you know, and I compare those to two Giorno movies, but you know, it is kind of the same sort of deal. Like he's, you know, digging into a mystery.
Yeah, but it's not, there's no,
there's very few,
there's no
stakes.
Like big point, you know,
like there's very few stakes, and part of that is just like the source material, where it's like at no point during this investigation were people worried that this was actually going to come start up again in the near future,
right?
So like the stakes weren't exactly clear of whether or not this comes out or not. It was just this needs to come out because we need to know about it.
Yeah. It felt very much like a TV movie, which actually I think it was, because I think it started at HBO and then HBO decided they wanted to pass on it. So
did they?
Yeah,
I think this movie would have been better served if it was a few years ago.
Yeah,
and I think now
few
it's kind of,
years too late.
Yeah, like we're not really talking about this right now, so it's like it's out of the national conversation. So like, who's really paying attention to this? So
you know, like, I feel like it was like four national security mindsets ago, you know?
Yeah.
I think they wanted to make a movie with no real statement. I think the only one who actually wanted to make it a statement piece was, you know, Adam Driver. About it. Or whatever character he was playing.
And also with, like, Annette Bening, I think she, like, went too much for the, like, I'm going to imitate Dianne Feinstein, and it just got caught up in that, because I didn't like her performance, where it's just like, She was like, and I don't know if you guys remember Dianne Feinstein, but like I kind of do, and like she did have that like kind
of. It's not like she's dead. I think she's still a senator, isn't she?
No, she's not a senator anymore, but she's retired. But like she had that like stumbling kind of speech.
That I don't like, think she's retired, dude.
No, I'm pretty sure she is.
You're thinking of Barbara Boxer.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe she's still
Is a senator. Yeah, she just told off a bunch of kids. This okay, like we never get political on this, but there's this amazing YouTube video of her like telling off all these like 6-year-olds who came to protest in her office about climate change. That's all I'll say. But just look it up on YouTube. It's current incredible. Yeah. So what? So you thought she was. I mean, she was doing the Barbara Feinstein kind of thing. Like, I mean, she kind of talked like a old grandma, sort of, but, you know.
Yeah, but
I don't know. It
was a bit too distracting for me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I don't know, unless you guys have any other parting thoughts. I mean, look, I think it's okay. Yeah. It's probably like a fine, like, if you're into, like, the CIA and stuff like that, you know, national security, like it is a very interesting topic, yeah. Let alone
if you're into this period or something, you know,
yeah,
like post 9/11, CIA sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah, even then, it's still a slow crawl.
Yeah, it's a bit slow. And
yeah, it's too long. It's definitely too long.
It probably would have been fine if it was shorter. So what do you guys ultimately think? What's your rating?
Number, I go with 7.
Yeah, I'm probably about 7.2.
I'll give it a solid 8.
Wow, you like
that's high.
I mean, it's not too much higher.
Someone's inflating their average for the year.
Yeah, I know. I am.
I ultimately did enjoy this movie.
All right.
So, I mean, it's not without its problems, but.
All right. On to another movie. Chris, do you want to give us your Jumanji minute?
Yeah, sure. So Jumanji is the Jumanji Next Level is the third installment of the redone Jumanji trilogy. Not redone, but yeah, whatever.
It's a continuation.
Redone Jumanji trilogy.
I guess you would say.
Yeah, continuation. It's a continuation, but whatever. It's essentially the same thing. They get caught into a game. This time they don't actually choose their avatars, so they're all like kind of scattered.
Okay.
And then you have Danny DeVito's in it. And Donald Glover's in it, and they add a lot to it. Okay. They add a lot to it, and it's not those two. Those two are fun and exciting on their own. Excuse me, but the avatars in the show. The best part about this is the cast has a great chemistry together, and that filters through everything that they do. So it's whether it's who is it? Catherine Gillane. Right? Catherine.
What?
Jillian. No, hold on. Gillane. What's her name? What's her first name? Damn it.
Nobody help him.
Damn it.
No, I'm not helping him.
It's all of it. It's all of the cast members. They're blending together nicely. They do a really good job. Kevin Hart, The Rock, all of them. Jack Black.
Who's the fourth one?
Again. Huh?
Who's the fourth one?
Karen Gillane. Gillen? Gillen? Why the fuck do you keep laughing?
Is it Gillian?
It's Gillian, yep. Yeah.
Why do you keep laughing?
Because it's just funny hearing you struggle. I don't know.
I you know what? I should have wrote it down.
Karen Gillian?
I know all the names.
And Doctor Who, and she's Nebula?
Flopped on that one.
She's Nebula. We've talked about
her. I don't care. I'm just thinking her name.
She's in The Doctor. Anyways.
She's also in The Circle. Do we want to go really down her resume?
She was in Oculus, too. We really going that way?
Chris, can you answer the question we're all dying to know? Is the tired rhino in this movie?
No.
God damn it!
No, I was waiting for it, but no. There was a little after credit thing.
Did you have your tired rhino shirt on when you're...
Of course I did.
They dropped the ball twice now.
I mean, they set it up for a fourth one if you really wanted to.
Yeah, I kind of figured. I mean,
talk about it. They didn't set it up.
The first one set it up for a sequel that we didn't get for almost 20 years. So, I mean,
what you know, it's really not.
It's just,
I don't know. I think it should be done. It should be done. I think they've run its course. I think it's going to make a lot of money.
I have my coworker saw this. I want to see if it's true. He said his one complaint was. The Rock acting like Danny DeVito got old kind of quick.
Yes. So that's kind of a main hindrance for the rating and why it didn't go so high. But then again, everybody else did great. So it's Kevin Hart did great playing Danny Glover, who played the character who got brought into a video game. When clearly they don't know what the hell a video game is. Right. So. But Kevin Hart and Jack Black and the other one. I don't even want to say a thing.
See now anyway. You understand why it's so funny.
they do so well together.
Yeah.
That regardless of who else is in it, it just I think one of the Jonas Brothers is in it too again.
Yeah,
this time around.
Joe Jonas, I believe, is the one in this.
Yeah, I don't even want to guess which one it is. But anyway, they all play great together. It's really hard, and this is just a continuation of the previous trilogy, and that's what makes these movies fun. Awesome to watch. The story, the only problem with this one is the story plot, or the plot and the storyline isn't as good as the others, and that's where, you know, those trilogy traps are. So I'd recommend it if you like all these other ones and you just want to see a fun movie. Comedy is still there. Graphics have been just consistent throughout. Nothing really spectacular, obviously. I gave this a 7.9.
Okay. So, do you think it's going to do as well as the first one?
It's maybe just a tad not as good. The first one's the best.
It's going up against Cats this weekend.
Who?
Jumanji.
This one?
Yeah.
It'll beat Cats. I think. Unless there's something else that's coming out that I just don't know of right now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Cats. My only thing is Christmas is next week, so maybe people won't go to the theaters the weekend before Christmas. It will be the weekend after. So, I think particularly with the Star Wars thing. Wait, Star Wars is coming out this weekend.
They're just gaslighting your ass today. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
Me and Sean just shared a moment and we looked at each other and went, he does know that Star Wars is coming out this weekend, right?
Chris, we'll just have to do our own podcast, man.
All right, we'll do a serious one.
Yeah.
Actually, we probably could do one about all the business movies throughout history.
Yeah, sure, dude.
Anyways,
you laugh, but we could really go long on that.
Yeah, I know.
We already did like 20 minutes on them. So.
I know.
All right. So all right,
go last movie, which is Parasite, between Sam and John.
John, you take this one.
So we really picked two super reviewable movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just give a very quick rundown of what Parasite is. Parasite is a Korean film in Korean with English subtitles by Bong Joon-ho, who's previously done Snowpiercer, which you may have seen on various streaming platforms, as well as Okja, which is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite, The Host.
Sean had reviewed that in the past.
Yep. The Host is probably my favorite by him.
Oh yeah, also The Host. Has he done some more horror movies? Is The Host a horror movie?
It's like a sci-fi. It's like a monster movie. It's like a comedy monster movie. So,
well, speaking of comedy, this movie, which I would describe as a dark comedy. Sam, do you think that's fair? Yeah, like
dark comedy, dramedy kind of thing.
Yeah, where essentially what happens. Speaking of gaslighting, essentially this poor sort of destitute family living in Korea, you know, we'll just say it's Seoul. Actually, I think it is Seoul. But that doesn't really matter. It could just be anywhere. They very slowly start working for this very wealthy family as a tutor and then a driver and then some other stuff.
Like art therapist and like housekeeper.
Yeah. If you want to give away the whole movie, man.
Yeah, that gives away the whole movie.
So essentially, this family just pretty much starts. I mean, I say leeching. I mean, there's never really like they're doing a bad faith version of their jobs. They're just sort of tricking them into like hiring them.
They're not actually.
But you know, it's semi nefarious, and you know they're definitely not being totally truthful.
Yeah, they're not actually qualified for the jobs.
Oh, that too.
But, like, at the same time, they're still doing them. Like, the only one I could, like, think of that's not really doing their job is the sister as the art therapist. But, like, even then, like, what the hell is art therapy anyways?
Right. So there's kind of, like, a very, like, throwback plot. Like, you could almost, the plot of this movie almost seems like something from, like, the 60s, like a farcical kind of movie from the 60s or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Up until one point.
Not that kind of vibe at all, don't get me wrong. You know, it really kind of speaks to I don't know. I mean, just income inequality, pretty much, I guess.
Yeah, like class differences and just... not to give anything away, but there's like this theme of who's really the parasite here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't want to really get into too much else because it's going to start to spoil it. Very funny movie, although, like I said, it's a dark comedy. Yeah. Although, actually, it's not like you're constantly laughing. There's just, you know, some jokes and some shit that happens that's just very funny.
Yeah, just some, like, weird moments and some funny moments and just...
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say overall, if you think you can do a weird foreign movie, like, this would be the one to see this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even just kind of like a weird movie. Like, so, if you like so The Lighthouse like at all, you'd probably like
this. I would like this.
Yeah, you probably like it.
All right.
There is this about maybe halfway, maybe like two-thirds away, somewhere around there. The movie, there is a twist.
Okay.
Something happens in this movie where you go, the hell?
Yeah. I mean, seeing that I've seen Snowpiercer, I've seen The Host, I've seen Okja, like, and I've enjoyed all of these movies. So, like, that kind of pushes me to want to go see this movie. It's just I've been busy.
Yeah, and it's had a somewhat limited release as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would be very confident that it gets nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars.
Yeah, I'm
somewhat
confident
that it might be Best Picture nominee as well.
Yeah,
so.
I'm confident this will probably win Best Foreign Language.
Yeah.
This got nominated for the SAG Awards, which is the Oscar, the acting awards for the Screen Actors Guild. Mm. This got nominated for like Best Ensemble, which I guess is not common at all for like a foreign movie. So,
But like looking at the movie, like, yeah, like the cast of this movie did a really good job.
Yeah, everybody was super believable, and I mean, you know, with the language barrier in mind and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
It's always difficult with the language barrier.
Like the wife, the witch, the, you know, wealthy family wife, she was great.
Mm.
What platform is this on?
None.
It's not on anything yet. I will probably be somewhere at some point, but it's just in theaters at the moment. But probably will get a somewhat wider release if it's nominated in another month or so.
Right.
So I'd give this movie an 8.8.
Okay. Sam?
I give it an 8.7.
Okay.
Like my biggest problem with this was that twist I told you about. It didn't change the tone as much as I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was expecting a bigger like tonal switch.
Yeah.
But
I gotta talk to you about the very end too, because
yeah,
it's just a very. I don't know what to make of it, but anyway, it's no, and the third act just kind of gets insane. So it's good. It's a like I said, it's almost like a little bit of a throwback kind of movie, but also not at all. It's just also like not ultra violent, but you know, shockingly violent at times.
All
right. Plus, anyway. If you're really into a husband and wife jerking and jilling each other off in the middle of the night, this is the movie for you.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Right. We won't really go into more detail. But yeah, that was an interesting.
Please
plot.
Don't.
Yeah. Well, the little kid's outside in his teepee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways,
wonder what the American Indian thing was all about.
Yeah, it was there, and it was like, all right. Well, I guess
the kid of the wealthy family, super into Native Americans and stuff. He has like a teepee and everything.
Is this culturally insensitive? I mean, the Koreans really didn't do anything to the Native Americans, but
yeah, they didn't. I mean, it's like me having a didgeridoo, you know. All right, anyway.
Anyways, what do we got? All right, so one.
Talking about cultural insensitivity.
Yeah, we have one of two shows that we're going to talk about. So we'll start with the first one. This past Sunday was the season. Was it the
finale?
Finale, that's the word I was looking for.
Possibly series.
Possibly
finale.
Series.
Possibly, yeah. We'll see where things fall from here on out of The Watchmen. So this one was called, oh crap.
Watch How They Fly.
Yeah. See How They Fly.
Or See How They Fly.
Yes.
What's that from, do you know?
A Beatles song? Lady Madonna? Yeah. That's when I saw that, I was like kicked into Lady Madonna in my head. I don't know if that's where that line is from, where they named the title, but that's what stuck for me. But yeah, so it's about, you know, that the plan to kill Dr. Manhattan and wrap a very, very, very stuffed season, try to wrap it all up into a nice little ball.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think they did it.
They kind of did.
Yeah, we finally got Adrian Veidt actually interacting with actual characters from this.
Yeah.
Not in flashbacks.
And like the weird thing too is he's been on Earth the whole time. Like it's like very like it's quickly like swept over really quick, but like there's that part where the main Regina King's character, she sees a statue of him, a golden statue of him.
Yeah, it's Regina King and Agent. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, you know, I wasn't expecting him to be old. And True was like, oh, you know, we respect, you know, the elderly and whatnot. Turns out that was just him in solid gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, preserved till the day.
Yeah, he got Han Solo'd.
Yeah, but with gold instead of carbonite. So, yeah, like...
And we learned he didn't just write save me with the...
Yes.
With the bodies.
With the bodies. He said, save me, daughter.
Yeah. And after seeing a scene where he says, I will never call you daughter.
Yeah. Which, did you feel like True was going to be his daughter after watching that opening scene?
No.
I, like, wait, hang on. You didn't figure this out as soon as she's like, you know, she started like talking about her parents and stuff in like previous episodes?
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
Really? Like, as... Very soon, I was just like, oh, she's Adrian's
Oh, yeah, like, once you see...
There's a thing, if you, like, put True, like, do, like, a mirror reflection of it, it looks a lot like Veidt.
Oh, okay.
That, which, I mean, is just kind of, like, a weird coincidence, but...
Yeah. No, like, just that opening scene with her mom, like, as a cleaning lady, breaking into his, I guess, personal sperm bank... and inseminating herself while saying, calling him a motherfucker. It's a weird scene. Like, I wasn't like watching her do it. I was like, oh, she's stealing something. That's like immediately recognized what that was. And I was like, that's a. Oh, she's not gonna do that. Oh, okay, no, she's sticking that up there. Okay. yep. Nope. Now she's pregnant. Who knew?
I love the part where, like, she comes and talks to Adrian in Antarctica, yeah. And he just mentions, like, I'm not into those hedonistic acts, like sex. It's just like, yeah, he's the kind of guy who wouldn't have sex.
Oh, my God. Yeah, his character arc was definitely really well done. And, like, everything's explained of, like... why he was so happy to get that lucky horseshoe, which was weird because he dug his way out, but at the same time he sharpened the points so he could kill the guy.
The game like that was just a great scene where he's like, was I a worthy adversary? Like, no.
You did play your part well now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you just see like the disappointment in his dying eyes. Like, as, like, Adrian Veidt just, like, drops him and walks away.
Oh, so fucked up, but great.
Kudos to those two actors and actresses who played the Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Kudos to them, because they really played it with little emotion for clones, I guess.
Yeah, no, they did great. Fantastic.
Did you guys like how, I don't know, are we really doing this in any sort of order, or are we just jumping
around?
No,
just jumping around.
So, you know, you have the whole thing with sort of the, I don't know if I'd call it like, yeah, I guess it's probably the third act of the episode or whatever, where, you know, Lady True's like transported everybody, Dr. Manhattan included. And then it feels very much like the third act of like a play where like everybody's in the room now and everyone's like speechifying and shit.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed how, like, so Lady True's motives aren't really clear, like, at all. Would you say, like, I mean, like, I don't really know, or really not even motives, like, what is she even trying to do?
Well, she came out and basically stated what her plan is.
Yeah,
when she meets with her dad, which is weird to
say.
Well,
she just wants Dr. Manhattan's powers to save the world.
Right, like, because really everybody feels like Dr. Well, she says she's going to take his powers and use them on herself. Everybody on every side feels that Dr. Manhattan has all this power, but has done nothing with it to save the world.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of like how everyone feels. And that's why everyone is trying to steal his powers, because the exact quote is he could have done more.
Yeah.
I think the Seventh Cavalry just like, hey, why don't we just have a Superman? That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah. But like at the same time, like they're at the same point where they're like, he could have done more to help us. Like everyone is in that kind of boat.
I guess my larger point is, though, I really liked how it's never really super established, like what she's trying to do or what she's trying to accomplish, more to the point. But like Adrian Veidt is just like, Ozymandias is just like, yeah, anybody who wants that much power is like fucked up. You don't want that to happen.
Right.
Like, don't do that. Let's just ice this bitch.
And like as he's talking about her, you're like, he's describing himself.
And then he has that line that he says in
takes
Latin.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting where like just the whole plan where she allowed the Seventh Cavalry to do all their stuff. Basically, to plan everything ahead of her teleporting everybody to where she needs them so she can steal the power. Like,
and
it's so Ozymandias, like, being five steps ahead of everyone
else.
And,
like, also, like, the whole reason why the 7th Cavalry was involved was just for to please Angela's grandfather.
Right.
Because he wanted Cyclops destroyed.
Yeah. Which he gets.
She gets. Yeah.
All dead. In a very interesting way, turns all the lasers on him and evaporates them all.
It's a great line where it's like, just, we know you're going to kill us. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, of course I am. It's like, and then boom, they're dead. Like, I honestly, like, very, very surprised with this episode because of how well they were able to tie everything together. It's really tough for like a show that's stuffed full of things to find a way to tie everything up so well. And after this episode, I was like, that was too perfect of an ending. Like everything was wrapped up. Like all the bad guys are dead. Adrian Veidt is now arrested for his crimes against New York and
humanity.
Killing everybody. Yeah. But there was that great, like moment there in Antarctica when they were like trying to arrest him. It was like, if you arrest me, you know, everything's going to go back to the way they were. And, Silk Spectre there was like,
yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah. It's like, it's
like everyone keeps telling us the world's going to end, but it never does.
It's like,
and it's a great point. Yeah. It's really, I liked how it was in some way corrective of, you know, the not faults in the story or anything like that, but like faults in the, you know, decisions the characters make in the first one. Like it's trying to like, you know, wrap up the first one just as much as it is this separate story we've gotten. Yep. You know,
Yeah.
And we get, like, the ambiguity of morality, which was a big, with the comic book, where it's like, yeah, that could have been the right choice to let Vite get away with what he did, but not letting him get away with what he did also might be the right choice. We don't know.
Right. Which I, like, after watching that, them arrest him, I'm like, isn't she at fault because she knew?
Right, and she wasn't she just as complicit?
Right,
well, not just as she knew.
She knew, like she allowed it to happen, and then for 30 years did nothing.
Yeah, it was a weird moment where she's like, "Oh, what are you going to do? Arrest the president?" And I was like, "What did he do?"
Well, he knew.
Like he knew, but so did she.
And exactly.
But like, Adrian Veidt was the only one perpetuating this lie, and everybody else just was like, I'll just not mention it.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's for the greater good, so I mean, like...
It's like I don't exactly know what everyone else is guilty of.
Right, like, this goes pretty deep. So, like, for this to have a second season where... go back one episode ago, I was like, yes, this needs a second season, I love this. Now I'm at the point where I'm like... No, I'm okay with a one and done. Like, it just the ending wrapped up too nicely for me.
How do you top it?
Right,
that's the question. How can you top?
They really didn't leave any loose strings there.
They did.
Like what?
I mean, like Adrian Veidt's whole trial. Like, how's that gonna go?
But
no, that's not interesting TV. Bad for him.
Because you need other things going on.
Yeah, people hate billionaires.
And, like, also, is Angela now the new Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
I hope not.
I don't know.
Wow.
like I said last week, I don't like Dr. Manhattan, so I'm not...
I like I him because...
I kind of want to see more of, like, Red and, you know, oh, the Lady Red Knight Scare. And...
No, Looking Glass,
I kind of want to see them as a Minutemen version.
I wouldn't, like we've said in the past, I wouldn't mind seeing a prequel to it, like follow the Minutemen or something like that. I would be 100% down for this. I mean, they already kind of started down that path with the flashback episode and, you know, even the TV show that was playing. But, like, I don't know. It, like, going forward, I'm okay with it ending here. I don't need a second season. If they give me a second season, I'll watch it, but I don't need one.
So, speaking about going back to what you said, the Red Scare and all of them, I did like the moment how they took their masks off after the shrimp bombardment or whatever, the squid bombardment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was, like, it's not even really talked about or anything like that, but it's just, like, you know, a very clear, like, you know, changing of sensibilities. And I don't know, I just thought that was kind of cool. Did you guys I gotta admit, I still don't really like totally understand old man Will Reeves' Hood of Justice. Like is he actually supposed to be 105? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he just does not seem like a guy who's 105. Like, I don't, you know, that was the only reason why, like, I thought maybe, like, Lady True making a time machine made sense, because it's like, he's just very clearly not, like, 105.
Well, I look at him being 105 as in, so, basically, we banded together in, like, peace in the 80s, and so that allows science and medicine and whatnot to take off, because we're not spending all this money on protection.
Sure.
And so because of that, you know, people can survive longer. So
And I guess maybe, you know, the fact that you have the nostalgia medicine and stuff like that, it seems, you know, beyond our grasp now. Maybe we're just supposed to sort of assume that. But, you know, I think it was just a very nice symmetry how it ends in the theater that, you know, it started in pretty much. And, you know, they're talking about how, you know, you need to take off the mask to actually heal and all that.
Mm.
I thought it wrapped it up very tightly, very nicely. One thing that, just having seen the whole 9 episodes now, there is a part of me that, look, I thought episode 8 was really good. maybe like one of the two best of the season. And I thought the finale was good. And, you know, finales are not easy. Damon Lindelof knows that all too well with Lost. But it just seemed a little more conventional, I guess, at the end here, the last couple of episodes, where it was like, excuse me, where it was like, you know, a lot of things just sort of being revealed and everything coming together, whereas maybe the first four or five episodes, it was just a little kind of weirder, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can see where you're coming from with that one.
And it would just have been interesting. I don't even think it would necessarily be better. And maybe it's just nice that, you know, we had that in the beginning, but then, like, the story still paid off well, even though, you know, maybe it was a little bit more linear and conventional than what we thought it would ultimately be. But I guess, you know, if we had had, like, a full season of, like, this weird sort of, like, almost lower stakes kind of show, you know, like, ultimately, it was really cool that Dr. Manhattan ended up being in it, and we really didn't know until the end when everything is, like, very ramped up to begin with. And like I said, I thought that whole episode, you know, episode 8 where you're introduced to him, was great, but yeah, it just felt, I guess, a little bit more conventional than you know, maybe we would have expected from the beginning. And like, I do think he can do like weird endings because the Leftovers ending was phenomenal.
You keep telling this show, and it really every day it keeps making me want to watch it. So
it's really good. It's a tough first season. And it's like it's not like a super happy show, but it has its like very like beautiful moments. Like I like legit cried like multiple times throughout the series, and they, like they weren't ever like really sad tears. They're all like happy stuff.
Hmm.
But back to Watchmen, you know, if I had to grade the whole season, it's like a 9.5 at least. For me.
Yeah, no, I loved this season, and it kept me coming back for more, which is, yeah, I've said in the past, and people have noticed, we've talked about many shows on here. There's a lot of shows where we watch a few episodes and we're like, oh yeah, that was pretty good, but we just never get back to it, just because, not just because like other stuff comes out, but it's just
there's no hook,
right?
There's no reason for me to keep coming back.
Yeah, like I mean, Chris, have you continued with that that Victorian mythical creatures show on Amazon?
Carnival Row.
Victorian mythic.
The Carnival Row. You finished it? I'm still where I left off. Like I haven't returned to it. And I said I was going to. I haven't wanted to, which is sad.
I think it's an OCD thing. Once I start something, I have to finish.
For me, I can finish a show, but if I have to wait for like Amy to watch it with me, I'm never finishing it.
Well, that's having a partner in crime to watch some of this stuff is just,
it makes it tougher.
It's impossible. Like I'm sitting here waiting for my wife to get home, you know, to watch the rest of The Expanse.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't wait to finish that.
it's nice though if you can watch a show. You're allowed to watch a show twice, which is the next show we're going to talk about. Because I literally watch every episode twice. I watch it once on my own and once with her.
Yeah, no, it's a rewatchable one. Well,
we'll get into it
at some point.
I was banging out Watchmen twice a week. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Mando.
No, I was doing Watchmen twice a week, just, and like you pick up so much more.
Oh yeah,
like I think if you were to go back and rewatch it now, and not even like Easter eggs and foreshadowing stuff, just, you know, there's just a lot of like density to it, and I'm excited to go back and watch some point in the near future.
It's nice.
HBO. It's HBO. They have this ability to create, you know, content that makes you have to watch it a second time.
It's world building. Like
Westworld and
Westworld season one.
But you know what,
but
I'm
you
trying
actually
to get
gave
at.
A shit about people,
right?
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say with the HBO stuff. It's got some good quality. Even Game of Thrones, I watched the second time throughout the week. So
yeah, for sure. Do you guys have any other parting thoughts?
Archie makes an appearance in this episode, which is Night Owl's little ship.
Yeah, the fridge.
Yeah, so
was still there the whole time.
Yeah, so which once he was like he mentioned something like they were walking through that warehouse, I was like, oh, I was like, oh my god, it's gonna be the owl guy's ship. Like I'm like so excited, and then when you see it, I'm like, ooh, I remember that from The Watchmen. Like,
Sam, all right, what if for the next season? What if they break? What if like they let him out of prison to like investigate Adrian Veidt or something like that?
See, that I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind them getting into Night Owl a little more. I mean, he's what? He's really the only surviving member left of the Watchmen. Because Rorschach's dead, Manhattan's dead now.
Ozymandias and Lore and Silk Spectre.
Right.
So, wait, is Rorschach, comedian's did they say he died?
Rorschach, yeah. He gets popped. Yeah,
Dr. Manhattan evaporates him.
He pops him.
Disintegrates him.
Yeah.
In the movie or in the show?
In the movie book. And in the book.
Because he says
in the show
he's gonna like let he's gonna tell everybody if they let him out, and he's like,
no, that's in the movie. What in about the show? Like they don't mention him in the show dying.
No,
right?
No,
the show is just the follow up to the comic book. So
he dies in the comic.
No, oh, but as a show viewer, I don't know that.
Well, you don't know who Rorschach really is.
Yeah, he's like never.
No, it's just the masks, right?
Right. Well, right.
So they have that door is open to them.
Not really. Like, there's not much to get into.
I don't think
they
do that though.
No, this is definitely a show made for the comic book fans. But
well, not even that. Like,
and they might have mentioned that in that like FBI briefing too that he's dead.
It might have, but. Mm. From a viewer perspective, he's still alive, as a show only. I have not heard otherwise.
I mean, then the comedian's still alive, but we all know
exactly.
He's dead. But like
he's never brought up in this,
right? Like,
no, he's not. But the thing is, as far as I know, if I'm a show watcher only,
as a show watcher, if they're not mentioned or anything, I assume they're dead. Because a lot of people are dead. Yeah, but like you think if he was alive, they would like actually like show him or something. Like they don't show. I think it's literally a one sentence thing about Rorschach's mask that is brought up. Other than that, they never talk about him ever again. So if I was going into this not knowing anything about the comic or anything, I would assume he's dead. Because everyone else is dead.
But you don't know about anybody else.
But so. You do know about Night Owl. They mention where he is. They do say he's in prison.
Yeah. Which, like, why is he in prison?
Right. So, like, that's something to go down.
The thing is, they mention
down.
These guys, and they leave the door open.
But thing with Rorschach, though, is, like, you know he's dead. They don't mention it on the show, but they don't really dwell on him at all. Like, he's not really a major character.
Well, at some point, you just keep adding so much content, you're eventually going to need to cut stuff out, so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you keep adding stuff, and eventually it gets so convoluted and complex that you just lose viewers.
Okay. I'm confused on how this has to do with Rorschach. You think, feeling Rorschach is alive.
Because I haven't heard contrary.
Yeah, but you haven't heard that he's even alive or like anything about him other than like, they're wearing his mask.
They're wearing his mask. That's all I know.
Yeah, but you don't know he was part of the Watchmen. Maybe he was part of the Minutemen.
No idea. I don't even know if he was.
So I would assume he's dead if he's
not. Did they even like mention the Watchmen in this?
No.
Yeah.
So you're assuming.
I don't see Robert Redford.
Do they
mention him, but he's dead, right? Because they don't mention him.
Robert Redford? He's on the newspaper.
Yeah. No, he's still the president.
He's Adrian Veidt is like, he's still the president? No, but like Adrian Veidt still says like in this episode, he's like, wait, he's still the president? Mm. So like, yeah.
That's the best part of the movie, by the way.
The movie?
When the Night Owls are talking to each other and he's like, fucking Nixon, like, I can't believe I voted for him 5 times. And Patrick Wilson's like, yeah, well, it was him or the commies. I'm like, oh my god, dude, right?
Oh my god. Yeah.
It's a crazy show.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. And like I said, I'm okay with a one and done season, but if I get a second one, I'm going to watch it.
I mean, I'm interested in the second one just to see where they go. Plus, this is such a rich world.
Yeah.
That there's so much.
Rorschach. I would not expect a second season anytime soon. If
no
that.
Way. No. 2 years minimum.
But it could happen. He didn't say, you know, Lindelof was like, I don't want to do one right now. If I think of another idea, I'll maybe do another one.
Yeah, and I always found it weird where it's like they kept calling this season one rather than just saying, oh yeah, this is just
a limited series.
This is just a limited series.
Yeah.
Because there's been limited series before that they've, you know, just made another season. I mean, they just did it with Big Little Lies. Real quick, big picture. Been a good year for comic book stuff. Like, you've got this just weird-ass show that seemed to legitimately be... I mean, nothing's a big hit anymore, but, like, actually seeming to be a hit with the people they were looking to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Got a weird genre movie in Joker that makes a shitload of money for the production it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the absolute zenith, you have Endgame.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just an incredible culmination. So, you know, it was a good year.
Even sprinkle in like the little things. Shazam wasn't a bad movie. Like that was, it didn't make a lot of money, but it wasn't horribly trashed like other DC movies. Far From Home actually did really well, made over $1 billion. Was it Captain Marvel came out earlier this year? That did well. So like.
Oh, I forgot that came out.
I know, so did I. I totally forgot.
In some ways, although you mentioned some movies that kind of go against my argument here, but in some ways you might say this is the year comic book movies and just the comic book media kind of grew up.
Right, except for the, you know.
Except for the ones he just
Shazam
mentioned.
And,
Shazam, Captain. Well, Captain Marvel. Like
Spider-Man.
Rife, have you watched Endgame on Disney Plus?
No, I have not.
Okay, apparently there's a bunch of extra stuff in the movies that were not on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that was, remember when they released that, like, extra long cut in the theaters to try pushing it over the... I think that's what's on Disney Plus, is with all those extra scenes. It's like 12 more minutes or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That'll be my next watch, probably, Disney Plus.
I'm still sticking with the DuckTales.
Yeah, of course.
It's getting so bad, I'm starting to think in Scottish. Like, it's getting really bad, people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of David Tennant in his normal accent, and, like, I'm okay with it. The people who listen to the show know I like David Tennant as an actor, so, like, if he's in it, I will definitely watch it, and, like, DuckTales definitely falls in that category.
My daughter's been watching a lot of Brave, so I know what you mean.
Yeah. No, it's weird. Like, I won't talk with it, but like today at work I was like doing something and I was thinking, I was like, why am I thinking in a Scottish accent? Oh, right. Because I've been binging DuckTales. That makes sense.
All right, let's move on.
Moving on to another Disney Plus show. Mando, The Mandalorian. So seeing that I was the only one on top of things, even though I texted all you, an episode did drop today, the day before the release of Star Wars Episode 9.
Some of us don't get out of work at 3:50.
Some of us watched half this episode at work.
Well, that's an employment issue.
No, I was working while I was... So Sam brought this up. This is easily a show where you don't have to fully watch...
It's we just came from Watchmen, where it's a very thick show. This is not a very thick show.
Right. You can kind of like side watch, and you kind of like, if you lose track of 2 minutes, you can jump back in and be like, oh, that's where we're at.
You might miss a couple little
Easter eggs
nothing,
or something.
Nothing crazy.
Another reason why I like to watch this show twice.
Not a lot of moving parts in this show.
Right. It's literally like, oh, in the background, that's a reference to this, this, and this. It's like, that's what this show is filled with. But, I mean, there's a nice plot on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
So the episode we're going to talk about was last week's, which is, I don't even remember the name of it, but it's the heist one where he meets up with an old colleague, I guess, and they put together a team to break someone out of jail, basically. Space jail.
Space jail.
And I mean, this episode is just like filled with people you've seen before. So Bill Burr is in this episode. What's his face? Mr. Krabs is in this episode.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah, Clancy Brown. The what's her face from Harry Potter is the Twi'lek in this episode.
How is there what's her face from Harry Potter? There's 1,000 people in Harry
Potter. The one whose hair always changes. She's literally the one from, because I don't watch all of them, but she's in the Order of the Phoenix. She's the one whose hair like changes color all the time. Chris, you know the name.
Talks, but I don't know her real name.
Right, but
she's Game of Thrones. She's
most girl people who
plays the slave from Game of Thrones.
Yes,
in Winterfell. No, in Winterfell, there was that girl who was a wildling.
She does have a very good beginning of
season 2 or 3, and then tried to kill Bran. And then she became the slave, and then eventually took Rickon away with his dog. That's her.
Natalia Tina.
Oh, okay.
Is the actress's name. She's the Twi'lek. And then even the robot is Richard. I always forget how to say his last name. Iode. He's in a great show that I recommend, The IT Crowd. It's a British show. But it's a comedy, and he was also in, was it The Watch? Like, he's done a few things, like, randomly, but he's mainly a comedic actor. So it was, like, weird to hear his voice as Zero. But yeah, it's just them trying to get somebody out. Like, it was an interesting episode altogether. But for me personally, it just kind of was like a meh episode. I wasn't a huge fan of this episode. Like, I could have done without it, because where he is at the beginning of the episode and where he is at the end of the episode is kind of like
same place.
Yeah. And then I went on IMDb and I was like, how is this so highly rated? Like, I was very confused. Like, my criticism for this episode is, I don't know if you guys feel it, but I feel like Bill Burr's comedic element was kind of like crowbarred in. Like, they were trying to make him funny but like also kind of like mean, which is kind of like who Bill Burr is as a comedian. He's just kind of like a mad comedian kind of thing, like an angry comedian.
I need Bill Burr in like all these fucking like gritty like crime movies now. I thought he was great in this, honestly.
Oh, see, I just didn't like his character. Like, it just kind of annoyed me. I felt like it was like his comedy was forced.
Listen, my feeling about this show,
Mandalorian, I hate my wife.
My feeling about the show is, like, the quality of the show is inversely proportional to, proportional to the amount of screen time Baby Yoda gets.
Agreed.
Like, the more Baby Yoda is in the show, the better the show is.
Yeah.
It's also a show for kids, too, so.
Right.
that definitely makes it like Baby Yoda show.
I saw a meme, though, the other day, and it was, like, Adam Driver yelling. And it was like him like screaming. It says like, I'm a Sith Lord. And the next one was Baby Yoda. And it said, I am Star Wars. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's so true. Like
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like no one definitely cares. Is. No one cares.
Yeah. We'll get to that very shortly.
Yes.
I just think this was like, you know, look, Mandalorian came out of the box really hot. I think we've just kind of been doing whatever the last 3-4 episodes.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, from the 20 minutes of this week's episode I saw,
yes,
seems like taking a turn from home.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But finishing this week's episode, just letting you guys know everything that has happened over the past, like, so many episodes, it all mattered.
Right.
Minus this episode. This episode did not matter at all.
The space jail episode.
Yeah, the title of the episode is The Prisoner. All it basically does is kind of reinforces Mando's hatred of droids, which makes sense. I don't know why he doesn't explain, because my parents were killed by super battle droids. That's why I hate droids.
Oh, dude, I even forgot that.
Right? Like that's where his hatred of droids comes from.
You think that'd be a common thing in this galaxy.
Exactly.
With all these battle droids and such.
So, like,
wait, do we see his parents get shot by battle droids?
They lock him in that, like, a basement thing, and then there's an explosion. Then it opens up, and there's a super battle droid there, and okay. it's ready to kill him, and then it explodes. So, yes. And
then Dr. Manhattan zap teleports him to New Mexico.
Yeah, of course. Because that's what we need, another Dr. Manhattan.
I mean, I feel like that's what we're getting with Baby Yoda. But
yeah, and I just got to say one other thing. A lot of Dr. Manhattan content, like memes and shit this week. Just fantastic internet.
Keep it up. Once again, like, not a fan of this episode. I could have did without it. And even the guy he saves in the end, the other Twi'lek, the Twi'lek brother, I don't know if it's his accent or the way he speaks just annoyed the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
this episode, you know, it was fine, but it's like, why, like, I mean, seemed just kind of pointless, which is a little tough rub considering it's just episodic TV, but
right.
I think you just have episodes like this when each one is its own story where it just sometimes doesn't work, yeah. even though, you know, frankly, I'm a little disappointed you couldn't make this work. Like, this seemed like a really cool concept.
Exactly, like a heist, like, breaking a guy out in space, like, that just seems like fun. I mean, there were the great moments where, like, you know, the Mandalorian takes on all those droids and just, like, owns them, which is great, but like I said, you got Bill Burr, like, doing the classic, "Oh, he left us, ah!" Like,
and
you see that? The Mando, he left!
Right, like,
and it's, this episode's so kind of by the numbers, where like, okay, so we're going into the heist, but he's getting pulled back in, but everybody knows him, so they're going to betray him in the end.
Right, like, you knew they were going to betray him, and then even Clancy Brown's character, you're like, oh, he's the muscle, is like, oh, so he's a hothead who doesn't trust the Mando.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that, he falls into that category.
There's nothing, like, that surprised me about it.
No.
Which, like, granted, the show's not exactly full of surprises.
What are you talking, Baby Yoda, Sam?
But, like, even, like, Baby Yoda is, like, exactly what you expect. I'm not complaining
right.
about Baby Yoda. And, like, sometimes by the numbers is completely fine. But for this episode, it was like, okay, I've seen this a million times. Could we, like, spice it up somehow? Like, I'm not expecting much from you, Mando. But, like, you know, you don't have to be this lazy.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement.
Let John speak.
We're all in agreement. Do you think we're giving too much time to this episode?
Well, I wanted to hear what John had to say.
Okay.
Do you think we'll ever get, like, an oral history or whatever about how they got to Baby Yoda? Because do you think Favreau in his, like, original pitch had Baby Yoda in it? He definitely didn't conceive it. Like, he definitely conceived it as, like, you know, like, we're following Boba Fett around pretty much, you know? We'll just call him a different character or whatever.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised because, like, you can't have a show that's focused on one character by themselves going around the galaxy. Like,
you Mandoing need, it up.
You need some kind of foil or some kind some kind of contrast there.
But do you think, like, he was in a pitch meeting and one of the suits were like, what about instead of just a child? It's Baby Yoda. I really can't believe, by the way, how well received Baby Yoda has been. Like, you could just as easily see it being the dumbest thing in the world, right?
Yes.
With Star Wars fans? Oh, yeah.
And yet it's just not. It's
speaking just of dumb things, what about that line about Gungans from this episode?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Whoa.
I get it.
Really racist there for a second.
Ridiculously bad.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I have nothing against Bill Burr. I think he's funny. It's just, like, I was not thrilled with his performance. And I just felt like his comedy was just, like, kind of crowbarred in there. Like, oh, you have to be funny now. Like with, like I said, the Gungan line where he's like, ah, Misa no want to show my face. Like, come on. Like, that was just stupid. It's not funny.
See, Gungans ruin everything.
Yeah,
just don't bring up Gungans.
Yeah, no. If this was a Gungan-free episode, it would be the best episode ever.
Oh, God. We're going to get Gungans in the show at one point, right? Oh,
God. I don't know.
Because, like,
I honestly wouldn't mind. And
based on how this show happens, Now, this season, no. I'm going with there will be no Gungans in this, this season. But, like, further down the road, if he goes to, like, Naboo or something, I mean, like they went to Tatooine.
We're going to be up to our neck in Gungans.
I know.
I'd want to see a Gungan off-world.
That'd be weird.
Like, I think it would be better, or at least more palatable, if you kind of, I don't want to say greased him up a bit, but made him a little bit more off-world, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe, like, Gungans work better if they're just all together. It's like somehow, like, they create some kind of Gungan white noise where I can just kind of tune them out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but that could be another factor why episode one kind of sucked. So
no, you had Jar Jar by himself a lot of that movie.
Yeah, most of that
movie. Yeah, but even then, all together, still wasn't.
Yeah, but
I don't know. The movie itself had a bunch of stuff that you know.
Oh, really? Yeah.
All right. Yippee. Well, as a transition here to get us going for Star Wars Episode IX, The Rise of Skywalker. The most hotly anticipated movie no one fucking cares about.
Yeah, I care.
That everybody bought tickets for already.
I totally did. I got
everybody collectively is like, yeah, I guess I'll go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I bought the VIP tickets for our local theater, which it's like you get the first showing, which is 6 o'clock, but you also get a souvenir soft drink and a souvenir bucket of popcorn. And you get a $5 card, like, go play video games card. Plus, I guess there's, like, finger food and stuff at the pre-party beforehand. And, like, people will be showing up in costume, which I totally don't care about because I'm going to be doing that this weekend anyways. But, like,
are you going to wear your Mandalorian helmet?
No. Well, they...
During the movie.
Yeah, yes. During the movie. No, they...
Did you fix it?
I added padding and I fixed the visor from what it came in as. But yeah, it fits better now and the visor doesn't move around anymore, so that's good. But yeah, like I think I remember from episode 7 when that came out, they were like, no one's allowed to wear masks because it was like just after the Joker thing. The Dark Knight Rises thing where the guy shot up the place. So, like, I would love to show up at, like, dressed for this, like, just because, but I feel like they're probably still enforcing the, like, no costume rule or, like, no mask rules, basically.
Sean, this is what you do. You wear the Mandalorian helmet with just, like, a Punisher t-shirt.
Yeah, that won't make you look like a creep.
No, not at all.
It won't make you look any different than anybody else going in this movie.
Yeah, but no, like I'm excited only for this movie only because it's pretty. It's kind of guaranteed for the time being. It's the last Star Wars movie. It's the end of the Skywalker saga. I'm intrigued on seeing how they're going to wrap this all up because
how they're going to kill off everybody.
Well, yeah, like we've stated in the past, like the second part of this trilogy wasn't a second act. It was more like a continuation of the first act. So I'm just confused on that and how everybody is basically like ripping on The Last Jedi saying how horrible of a movie that was now that we're 2 years later. Like I just want to see how it ends and I don't want it spoiled for me, which is kind of like a major reason why I'm going in as early as I possibly can to this movie. Wow. Silence.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of just took it all. So, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I'm going because of the trailer. They threw together a good trailer. Not the first one. The second one. Yeah, the first one, I really don't. I mean, I know it's.
You mean the teaser?
I really don't want the Emperor.
I'm really very interested on seeing how they're going to bring him back. Like, not that, like, I'm like, oh my God, he's back. I'm like, all right, how are you doing this? Like, seriously. Like,
I don't even want it.
It's not that I want it. It's just, I'm like, it's here. I've accepted it. So, how'd you do it?
No,
I just want an explanation.
That's why you want to see. What you want to see. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see C-3PO die either or get his memory wiped or anything like that.
But you know it's going to happen.
You really that attached to C-3PO?
Yeah.
The reason, No, but I mean the fact that you keep killing off all these people.
Yeah, the thing that dies off
the six main people that everybody fell in love with in the first place, and now unfortunate circumstances lead us to the eventual loss of, or at least lack of continuation of one of the main characters.
Yeah,
and now it's all three of the main cast are gone. Well, all three.
Realistically, though, there's only been two characters in every single movie. It's 3PO and R2-D2. They're the only two in every movie.
And then get rid of one of them.
How many movies was Watto in?
Two.
Two.
Oh, shit, he is in the second one.
Yes, he is. Annie? Little Annie?
Annie!
I love how he's, like, Russian, sort of.
Yeah, he's...
He's a toy dairy, and mind tricks don't work on me. Only money. Oh, man.
Watto. A lot of things going on there that we will never talk about. I don't know how he thought he could do some of this stuff. I mean, I don't know. You didn't really think about any of this shit at all 20 years ago, but like, still.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. Like, even something like the Sand People. Nowhere near as bad as like some of the other shit.
Notice how in The Mandalorian they never refer to them as sand people. It's only Tusken Raiders.
And also just that entire scene where he's doing the sign language. It was a little cringy.
Yeah. It was weird. But I was like, whatever. It lasted for like 10 seconds.
We're really going heavy on their Native Americans. Huh? Okay.
Just in The Mandalorian, this last episode seemed to be a little bit of space racism going on, which I just thought was like interesting. All right, so episode 9. I have some unfortunate news.
Yes, yes. Because
I think I stumbled across a summary like inadvertently, but I won't explain it any other way. But just saying, it was dumb enough and like. Not even necessarily dumb, but it was stupid enough that, like, people would be pissed off and, like, you know, yeah, this makes sense. Like, it's stupid and convenient enough that, like, I feel like it's probably what happened, so.
Right. Is it, like, a kid's movie?
No, it's just, how can I say it? You know, a lot of, like, it's just dumb, like, really, like, shitty, like, story writing.
Yeah.
Like, making it all, you know, interconnected or whatever.
Okay.
So, like, reviews for this movie came out, this morning or maybe last night?
They came out last night.
Yeah, so when I got to work this morning, I looked at the reviews, and as of 7 o'clock this morning, it was sitting at a whopping 55% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's...
rating it the worst... reviewed Star Wars movie ever.
Do they ever do on here like what it opened at? Like an IPO or something?
I don't know. I know. But like
they don't verify it. Do they verify tickets now? Because I know they were talking about doing
that. Yeah, they do.
Oh, well, this is critics. Anyway.
Yeah, this is just critics, not the fan score. The problem with so. The verification are for the fan scores because people were going on to, was it Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel,
they were bashing it before it even came out. So
this is just critics.
Critics are basically, as you're seeing, it's basically 50%. Half of them are going, oh, this was a good movie. The other half are like, this was trash. And pretty much the consensus I feel is, J.J. Abrams made the safest Star Wars movie he possibly could with the safest possible ending, and it just pissed everyone off.
Mm.
So, like, so you literally go from a safe opening movie, which was...
To a safe closing movie?
Yeah, but, like, sandwiched between a movie that tried to do something different. Like it's just like it's weird that they went safe, crazy, safe.
That's not that crazy. That's exactly.
I think crazy is the wrong word to use in that scenario. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, I don't know how you would describe it as anything but crazy. I mean, we've gone on length on how insane that movie is, and the character development is just horrid. But that you know, that's been a complaint of this entire trilogy for me, is there's been no character development.
Yeah, absolutely none.
Like, I mean,
the closest we had, like, a very little bit between, like, Kylo and Rey.
And yeah, it's really like it. Very little. Yeah.
Because we could have had more if we delved into Rey's past in the second movie.
Right. But, like, and I know, Sam, you love this part where it's like, you're nobody. But, like, if she's nobody, how did she literally learn how to use the Force and was a stronger Force user in, like, 3 days?
Because the Force right. moves well, in mysterious ways. Like,
yeah, it's not just that you don't have to be related to Yoda to be the strongest Force person.
Yeah. Are you aware of the tale of fucking Darth Plagueis or fucking whatever?
Yeah, except he didn't learn to use the Force in 3 days.
Yeah, but like...
Well, how do you know?
Because I am very familiar with
Who was Anakin related to? Nobody. Like, the Force just attaches itself to random people. Well, the Force actually made him, but...
Palpatine made him.
Yeah, you know,
but the Force was technically working through him because he does bring balance to the Force. If you think about it,
yeah,
it's just not the balance the Jedi were thinking.
Right, right. Yeah, it basically destroys everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Until the new trilogy, where then it like brings it all back. No, it's just. I really wish there was character development where I would actually care about these characters. Like, the sad thing is, I care more about the classic characters, like even like Lando Calrissian, who's not really like top tier for me and like favorite characters of the original trilogy. I care that he's in this movie because it's something I can attach myself to and be like, oh, I remember this character. And like, he wasn't horrible from the original trilogy. He was actually kind of like a funny part. Like, I want to see why he's in this movie. Like, I've heard reports that, like, Wicket the Ewok shows up, and I'm like, why? But now I'm intrigued. Like,
they stand there together.
Like, I care more about the tie-ins to the original trilogy than what they've been trying to set up for this new trilogy, which is sad.
I'm just dreading all the stupid shit Star Wars fans are going to latch onto and just bitch about. Because... just the, like, cascade of stupid shit they latched onto with Last Jedi. And if this one is worse than that, ugh. God.
Well, never going to hear the end of it.
No. Well, what it seems like they did is they went as safe as possible. Like, I don't know what that entails. I'll find out tomorrow. At this time, I will know.
Maybe that'll, like, please the fans? I don't know.
It's upset people because it was just like you said, John, lazy writing. That's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Lucas has never been the most inventive writer.
No. But he was good at world building.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is trying, like, even the prequels, he was able to build a pre-Empire, like, galaxy.
And that's the best part of the prequels about. Is that, like, it feels so totally different from the original series,
but at the same time,
but familiar feels, yeah. And you're like, oh, this is all good. If only you could write, you know, characters or dialogue.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas
the world building in this one doesn't really seem interesting at all.
No, not at all.
It's just copy paste from the original.
It's like, well, the Empire's gone. So where's the First Order come from? And they're like, don't worry about it.
It's just the Empire.
It's the Empire, but they're destroyed. And we're talking about the New Republic, but where'd the First Order? Don't worry about it.
Like even like little things where it's like they're still using X-wings and Y-wings,
yeah,
and like Star Destroyers, whereas like Lucas would have just made some crazy shit and be like, you know, this is a moon destroyer,
yeah,
and it's like, and it looks totally different from a Star Destroyer, although like vaguely like it, and
right, but it's like an updated version. This one it was like, what if it was a planet?
Yeah, like, and it's like,
what are we gonna call it? Star Killer Base. Wait, wasn't that Luke Skywalker's original name? Don't worry about it. Why are you waving your hand in my face? Like, it's so far this new trilogy has just been like bad writing, and it's just sad from a series known for its bad writing. Like, you expect more and this time
you
around.
I'm in the camp of these movies have been just fine.
Yeah.
But, like, this is not helping.
No.
These reviews where I'm like, oh, man. Like, you're going to really crash and burn on me here after I've been, like, I've been holding the flag and holding this fort of these movies are just fine.
Nope.
It's just like, oh, come on.
They are going to crash and burn. They learned nothing.
Well, it's not they learned nothing. It's just like they seem to have learned all the wrong lessons.
Yeah, it's like they took all the like notes and they were like, but what if? And then they just ignored their notes, which is like funny because like Mandalorian was like, hey, we know what to do. And they did it. And everybody's like, oh, this is amazing. And
I mean, what helps like Mandalorian too is that it's because it's an offshoot. They don't have to feel like a Star Wars movie.
Right. But at the same time, it feels familiar enough.
Yeah, because it's
which
the
is
same
nice.
World,
and like you know nothing about the Mandalorian, but you kind of feel for him. You know enough where like you kind of understand him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, there's just this whole I have no connection to these people.
No,
I'm
none.
Sorry.
Like,
and they all seem like people who'd be cool to spend some time with.
Yeah.
And yet here I am.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean there's a lot of charm to the cast of the first movie, and then they just seem to, one, go nowhere in the first movie, really, and then, mm-hmm. two, really just, like, piss away our time in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, man, I mean, there's a part of me that, like, wants to skip this movie, really send a message, you know, be like, you know, Mookie and do the right thing when he throws the, you know, trash can through the window of the pizzeria, like, you know, really fucking send a message to the man, but...
I'm kind of with you, John, on that one, though.
But, like, I mean, come on, though. It's a Star Wars movie. And
I know, unfortunately.
Yeah, like,
we're gonna see it.
I would love to skip this movie, but, like, Star Wars, and I like him.
I will go into this movie with the lowest possible expectations, just hoping, just be fun.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, at some point make me go, ooh, this is fun, and, okay, I'll walk out fine.
Yeah, give me a great battle scene in the end, and I'll be happy. Yeah. Top of the Rogue One battle scene for me, and I'll be happy.
Ooh, that's gonna
I
be
will
tough.
Say this. All the reviews I've said says the second part is the second half is stronger. So
yeah,
all right. I can see hopefully.
That. And that would be where a battle is. So.
Right. So I like I said, this time tomorrow I will know.
Also, so. I demand someone touches the ground, licks their fingers, and goes, "It sucked."
Sam, I will slap you if somebody does that.
Come on.
It's going to happen just because you said it.
What if this episode starts on Jakku? I'm going to be so pissed. I'm not going to lie. Where it's like, oh, we're going to go Return of the Jedi
or
route.
Or just we follow that guy around like he's like some
right?
like secondary
what?
Plot.
Sean,
like every time he like touches the ground, like this is dirt. And everybody's like, we know, Jeff. Okay? We all know. It's dirt.
If they start on Jakku, oh my goodness.
I'm sorry I put that in your head.
I think they might do.
Right, with a Sarlacc
pit? Because it looks like they end on...
If there's a creature that eats people in the sand, I don't know what I'm
going to
do.
Yeah, because it looks like it's going to end on the Forest Moon of Endor with the Ewoks. Like, that's where it looks like it's going to end. So if you know the end point is basically right where Return of the Jedi ended... I can only assume it starts on the planet they started with, which was in the original was Tatooine, and this one it would be Jakku.
Do you think there's going to be a partially built Starkiller?
Oh God, please don't!
No, they wouldn't be that dumb.
Oh my God! Or
I don't
would
know,
they?
Man.
Like
JJ pretty
might.
Much did oh, the New Hope. So.
Well, here's the thing: this is JJ Abrams, so there's at least a 20% chance this is a Cloverfield movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so shitty. That's how they had to get
it. You put it that low, Sam.
There's all these random cutscenes of some guy video chatting with fucking Rey, telling him about the Cloverfield fucking paradox or whatever.
Dude, there's gonna be a scene where it's just gonna be like nothing, but in the background you see Clover like walking by. Like, it's just out of the blue, like, has nothing to do with the actual story. Nobody like talks about it, and is like, oh,
it's like,
by the way.
It's like floating in space with a little fucking space helmet on.
Why do you guys think JJ left for the second movie?
my God.
Kathleen Kennedy didn't want that.
Yeah.
That was just the whole plan for the second movie.
That if this movie really bombs, it can, like, fucking, like, cancel J.J. Abrams for a little bit. Because that guy, for, like, the amount of money he's made, has, like, really, like, barely done anything good.
I think Overlord kind of set him back a little bit, too.
Really? I've heard good things about Overlord.
Yeah, but it wasn't...
It wasn't a wide release,
A wide release. It wasn't really word of mouth popular, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think that hurt him. I mean...
No, but right... But I don't think it definitely didn't progress him further.
Yeah, but it was more or less like a small movie.
Plus, he only produced that.
Yeah, he didn't write or direct it.
Oh, I thought he wrote it.
No.
They throw his name out a lot. Yeah. And, you know.
They really did.
I'm not going to lie. I've been reading the third one came out today, but his Spider-Man comic that he's writing with his son, not bad. I'm kind of intrigued with it. So... at least I like that part of J.J. Abrams, like, which I have no doubt in my mind. J.J. Abrams, J.J. Abrams, he is a nerd who understands the source material, but like I feel like it's just lost in translation sometimes.
Let's just hope this is like enough of like a financial failure that they can at least get Kathleen Kennedy out of there.
I agree.
And like maybe give it to Feige or whatever, or find somebody else.
Even it already is in Feige's hands.
No, just one movie. He's producing one movie.
I thought he was head of Star Wars.
No, that's Marvel. Yeah. He's in charge of Marvel TV now because Marvel TV doesn't exist.
No, anymore. I thought they put him in...
In charge of one movie. He's producing one Star Wars movie.
Which I'm fine.
I swore they threw him in at the top.
Nope.
He'll be head of Star Wars or Lucasfilm for like 3 years, and then he'll turn the franchise around and then go replace Bob Iger. That's what he'll do.
You think he's the next CEO?
Oh, God, I think so. I think that's what
wouldn't be far-fetched, but then again, he doesn't have the exposure to the
ESPN and all that.
Theme and all that, theme parks and all that stuff.
Right.
This is business talk, John. This is our business talk podcast.
This is let's do the business podcast right now. This is business night.
All right. So this little movie in 1982, Wall Street.
Yeah. All right. We gotta wrap.
Before that, why don't we do Trading Places? Eddie Murray and Dan
Aykroyd. It's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie. It is more Christmas than Die Hard, in my opinion.
It is, and it's almost the same. Almost the same plot.
Then it's. I'm pretty sure it was made. Is it made the same year? Is that made the same year? Jeez.
No, close enough. It's not made the same year.
No, but it's damn close.
Well, on that shocking bombshell, you can find all of our podcasts on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Message us on Facebook.com/Knights of Nerditude. So go see Star Wars. Go boycott it. I don't know. Like, I don't know at this point.
We don't care.
Do what your heart tells you, but I will be going to see it tomorrow. So until next time.
Bye.
Die Hard.